It's understandable if you've become confused about the construction, the groundbreakings, and the building dedications on the University of Arkansas campus in recent years. There has been a building boom. Yesterday, it was time for the rededication of Ozark Hall. It marked the end of another project on the campus. A 21,000-square-foot addition to Ozark Hall was part of the project, and it will be home for the University of Arkansas's Honors College. And it returns a wing of the venerable hall to an original footprint. The project was designed by Robert A.M. Stern Architects of New York City. Yesterday, Gary Brewer and Eric Silich from the firm came to the Anthony and Susan Hoyt News Studio just a few hours before the formal dedication. I asked them about the process of renovating and adding to a building that is located in the heart of the oldest part of campus. Gary Brewer told me the architects had a solid structure to begin with when the project started.
Those buildings were built in a time when it was probably difficult to build buildings and expensive to build buildings, but they were built with a vision and a high sense of material, you know, all of the stone. And they were also planned in such a way that they were somewhat flexible. Well, today we plan buildings that they're so particular that you wonder in 100 years how you would use them. The original buildings at the University of Arkansas, they're more like mittens instead of gloves, because they can accommodate lots of different hands in the way that maybe a glove can't. So they it's easy for them to repurpose and reuse in the future. And one might imagine that Ozark Hall 75 years from now might be used in a different way than it is now. And that's the sort of ultimate way to do a sustainable building.
So you have to think about that somewhat. I mean, you are building for an opening for the Honors College in the early part of this century, but you're hoping that this building is used far beyond that.
Yeah, well, I would say that one of the things that we engage our clients in is a discussion of not just the here and now and the immediate, but how do they imagine growing and what will their futures be and how will their new buildings accommodate that.
Was there a sense that this was completing a project too? Because when you took on this part of the building, there were two-thirds of what had been an existing building there and sort of this funky courtyard that wasn't a courtyard.
Yeah, I mean, we went to the original master plan, which was from the 20s, I believe, Jamieson and Spurl, and they had, you know, the building had been shown as a full build out with a courtyard, although it was flipped around 180 degrees. And we kind of talked about that early on. Is it the right thing to complete that? Is there something else that should happen? Is there some notion that maybe you should make a donut out of it type of thing? But the original master plan had some really great ideas and set up great spaces, so we kind of went with that.
There are a lot of new buildings and spaces on the University of Arkansas campus that have been built or are being built in the last few years. Most of them are in footprints that people don't remember, so it instantly strikes them, if they haven't been on campus for 10 or 20 or 30 years, that that's new. There are going to be some people who come back to campus who haven't been here for 30 years and will maybe not immediately realize instantly that this is new because it's on the same footprint that they may have experienced in the 70s or 80s.
Yeah, I mean, there was a conscious thing to make it really blend in. If you go in sort of like an untrained eye and you go look at the building, that you don't necessarily know where the seam is. And for people who kind of, as your memory fades and you say, I mean, if they were in that building a lot, they'll probably remember it more. But if they always just walked by it, they wouldn't even necessarily remember it that well. But, you know, there's a difference between making sort of a statement of here I am and everybody look at me and sort of a statement of here we are and let's fit in. And it's a beautiful sight up there. So it's
well,
nice.
I would also add to that, you know, that part of campus and a building like that for our kind of approach to architecture, it's not so much just about who we are and what we think about architecture. It's about the University of Arkansas's brand. You know, different schools have different architectural brands, and they have shown that when a prospective student and their parents come to campus, one of the biggest aspects of how they determine where to go is what does the campus look like? And it's typically the historic part of campus. And so our sense of adding to that building was to emphasize your architectural brand and what it means to be at the university. You know, some of the buildings that came after the historic buildings, you know, there's a few good ones, but there's a lot of buildings that some people might think of as mistakes, you know, and there is something about classic architecture, be it classical or Gothic, that has a staying power that maybe experimental architecture doesn't. I mean, in a way, you look at some of those newer buildings, and they're like lapses in judgment in the way that you had a bad haircut in the 1970s. But you can't just grow your hair out like you can, you know, in comparison to getting rid of a building.
You can fold those bell bottoms away.
Yes.
You mentioned that seam between the old and the new. Mm-hmm. How important is it that it be seamless, or is it important that it be? I mean, do you want people to understand there's a conversation going on between eras or not? Or is that even something you think about?
I mean, I think we talked about it at various stages. There's the practical aspect of it. How do you just practically make that seam? But the original building was already two pieces, you know, and there was I think the north wing was, I guess the east wing was built, and then the north wing was built after that. I think that's the order. And it's hard to know exactly where the seam is, and you can see some of the details if you really pick through it. And it didn't seem critical to distinguish that part of the building from itself. You can see other aspects of it where other parts of the detailing, and there's more detailing and so forth. And it was a conscious decision, I think, to say, you know, this, we're completing the building, we're not, yep. sort of.
Although it does, you know, it has the same materials, it has the same limestone, it has similar windows, but it has different ways of massing and different sort of details. I mean, I was thinking about it earlier. It's a little bit like a family in a generation. I mean, you probably look like your parents, and your parents probably look like their parents, and there's a sort of similarity between you all, but you all have your own unique characteristics. But what makes you interesting as a sort of family is what you share in common and the things that make you unique. I think that our building and its addition to the original building is part of that family, and it hopefully has shared characteristics. But I like to think it's more nuanced than just some big glass box added to it. That's a more interesting dialogue to say we're part of this family. Let's find out what we have in common, and let's have a few characteristics that make us unique.
When people were building the original buildings on this campus, they were not thinking about telephone lines, let alone fiber optic, or the fact that blackboards would be replaced by whiteboards. So at some point, this project that you've poured a lot of passion and intellect and time into, maybe it's 60 years, but something else will come along and it will be kind of, you know, manipulated or changed or goodness knows what. You okay with that?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, as I mentioned earlier, a building needs to be flexible. And it needs to be planned so that it works with its immediate uses, but that it is also flexible enough in the future. It could be used in different ways. I think that the most important thing is that it has a general high sense of quality, and that it has, I mean, working at the University of Arkansas, what I found meeting with students, faculty, staff, is that there is an overall sense of love for the historic part of the campus. And, you know, someone could have easily said, well, you know, instead of restoring these buildings, it might actually be cheaper to tear them down and start all over. But it's having people love buildings that make them want to, in the future, repurpose them in ways that can be used, you know, because those buildings are part of who they are and their identity. And so what we added on to Ozark with the Honors College and how we restored the exterior of the building, hopefully that will be meaningful to the students, faculty, and faculty, and that in the future, that when they want to use it for a different purpose, they'll take as much care, their architects and their generation, to repurpose it in the way that we did with the university.
Gary Brewer and Eric Silich are with the firm Robert A.M. Stern Architects of New York City. They were the lead architects for the Ozark Hall renovation on the University of Arkansas campus. The new renovated Ozark Hall was dedicated yesterday morning. I talked to Gary and Eric in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio yesterday, just a few hours before that dedication. This is Ozarks at Large.